subject to the point that we confidently assess that he does not possess undisclosed threat information or intelligence that could prevent a terrorist event. The cable further recommended that psychologists, a likely reference to contractors Swigert and Dunbar, familiar with interrogation, exploitation, and resistance to interrogation, should shape compliance of high-value captives prior to debriefing by substantive experts. From Abu Zubaydah's capture on March 28, 2002, to his transfer to Department of Defense custody on September 5, 2006, information provided by Abu Zubaydah resulted in 766 disseminated intelligence reports. According to CIA documents, Abu Zubaydah provided information on Al-Qaeda activities, plans, capabilities, and relationships, in addition to information on its leadership structure, including personalities, decision-making processes, training, and tactics. As noted, this type of information was provided by Abu Zubaydah before, during, and after the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. At no time during or after the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques did Abu Zubaydah provide information about operatives in or future attacks against the United States. 10. A CIA presidential daily brief provides inaccurate information on the interrogation of Abu Zubaydah. Although CIA personnel at detention site Green agreed that Abu Zubaydah was compliant and cooperative, personnel at CIA headquarters prepared a presidential daily brief, PDB, in October 2002 that, according to a cable, accurately reflected the collective HQS view of the information provided by Abu Zubaydah to date. The October 2002 PDB stated Abu Zubaydah was still withholding significant threat information, including information on operatives in the United States, and that Abu Zubaydah resisted providing useful information until becoming more cooperative in early August, probably in the hope of improving his living conditions. The PDB made no reference to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques or the counter-assessment from the detention site interrogation team indicating that Abu Zubaydah was cooperative and not withholding information. CIA documents identified the key intelligence acquired from Abu Zubaydah as information related to suspected terrorists Jose Padilla and Binyam Muhammad, information on English-speaking Al-Qaeda member Jafar Al-Tayyar, and information identifying KSM as the mastermind of the September 11, 2001 attacks, who used the alias Mukhtar. All of this information was acquired by FBI special agents shortly after Abu Zubaydah's capture. The CIA has consistently represented that Abu Zubaydah stated that the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques were necessary to gain his cooperation. For example, the CIA informed the OLC that, as Zubaydah himself explained with respect to enhanced techniques, brothers who are captured and interrogated are permitted by Allah to provide information when they believe they have reached the limit of their ability to withhold it in the face of psychological and physical hardships. As is described in greater detail in the full committee study, CIA records do not support the CIA representation that Abu Zubaydah made these statements.
Note 229. While there are no records of Abu Zubaydah making these statements, the deputy chief of Alex Station, redacted, told the inspector general on July 17, 2003, that the best information the CIA received on how to handle the CIA detainees came from a walk-in, a source redacted to volunteer information to the CIA, after the arrest of Abu Zubaydah. He told us we were underestimating Al-Qaeda. The detainees were happy to be arrested by the U.S. because they got a big show trial. When they were turned over to foreign governments, they were treated badly, so they talked. Allah apparently allows you to talk if you feel threatened. The CIA detainees never counted on being detained by us outside the U.S. and being subjected to methods they never dreamed of.
CIA records indicate that Abu Zubaydah maintained that he always intended to talk and never believed he could withhold information from interrogators. In February 2003, Abu Zubaydah told a CIA psychologist that he believed prior to his capture that every captured brother would talk in detention, and that he told individuals at a terrorist training camp that brothers should be able to expect that the organization will make adjustments to protect people and plans when someone with knowledge is captured. 11. The CIA does not brief the committee on the interrogation of Abu Zubaydah. In contrast to relatively open communications that the CIA had with the committee following the issuance of the September 17, 2001 MON, the CIA significantly limited its communications with the committee on its detention and interrogation activities after Abu Zubaydah's capture on March 28, 2002. In response to three different sets of committee questions for the record addressed to the CIA regarding the MON authorities in the spring and summer of 2002, the CIA provided no indication that the CIA had established Detention Site Green or was using or considering using coercive interrogation techniques. On September 27, 2002, CIA officials provided a briefing on Abu Zubaydah's interrogation only to Committee Chairman Bob Graham, Vice Chairman Richard Shelby, and their staff directors. After this briefing, Chairman Graham made multiple and specific requests for additional information on the CIA's detention and interrogation program. Internal CIA emails include discussion of how the CIA could get off the hook on the cheap regarding Chairman Graham's requests for additional information. In the end, CIA officials simply did not respond to Graham's requests prior to his departure from the committee in January 2003.
C. Interrogation in Country, Redacted, and the January 2003 Guidelines. 1. The CIA establishes Detention Site Cobalt, places inexperienced first tour officer in charge. Plans for a specialized CIA detention facility in Country, Redacted, began in April 2002, with the intention that it would be totally under Redacted Station Control. On June 6, 2002, CIA headquarters approved more than $200,000 for the construction of the facility, identified in this summary as Detention Site Cobalt. In a 2003 interview with the CIA Office of Inspector General, Associate Deputy Director for Operations, Redacted, described his views of this facility and stated that Detention Site Cobalt was opened because there needed to be a detention site in Country, Redacted, for those detainees en route, Redacted, to Detention Site Green. It was not a place for the use of EITs. Detention Site Cobalt, constructed with CIA funding, opened in Country, Redacted, in September 2002. According to CIA records, the windows at Detention Site Cobalt were blacked out and detainees were kept in total darkness. The Redacted guards monitored detainees using headlamps, and loud music was played constantly in the facility. While in their cells, detainees were shackled to the wall and given buckets for human waste. 4 of the 20 cells at the facility included a bar across the top of the cell. Later reports describe the detainees being shackled to the bar with their hands above their heads, forcing them to stand, and therefore not allowing the detainees to sleep.
Note 240. One senior interrogator, Redacted, told the CIA OIG that literally a detainee could go for days or weeks without anyone looking at him, and that his team found one detainee who, as far as we could determine, had been chained to the wall in a standing position for 17 days. According to the CIA interrogator, some of the CIA detainees at Detention Site Cobalt literally looked like a dog that had been kenneled. When the doors to their cells were opened, they cowered. The chief of interrogations, Redacted, told the CIA OIG that Detention Site Cobalt is good for interrogations because it is the closest thing he has seen to a dungeon, facilitating the displacement of detainee expectations. An analyst who conducted interrogations at Detention Site Cobalt told the CIA OIG that Detention Site Cobalt is an EIT.
The CIA officer in charge of Detention Site Cobalt, Redacted, CIA Officer 1, was a junior officer on his first overseas assignment with no previous experience or training in handling prisoners or conducting interrogations. Redacted, CIA Officer 1, was the Detention Site Cobalt manager during the period in which a CIA detainee died and numerous CIA detainees were subjected to unapproved coercive interrogation techniques. A review of CIA records found that prior to Redacted, CIA Officer 1's deployment and assignment as the CIA's Detention Site Cobalt manager, other CIA officers recommended Redacted, CIA Officer 1, not have continued access to classified information due to a lack of honesty, judgment, and maturity. According to records, the chief of CTC told redacted CIA Officer 1 that he would not want him in his overseas station. A supervising officer assessed that redacted CIA Officer 1 has issues with judgment and maturity, and his potential behavior in the field is also worrisome. The officer further advised that redacted CIA Officer 1 was only put into processing for an overseas position so that someone would evaluate all of the evidence of this situation altogether. The officer further noted that redacted CIA Officer 1 might not listen to his chief of station when in the field. 2. CIA records lack information on CIA detainees and details of interrogations in country, redacted. Detainees held in country, redacted, were detained under the authority of the MON. However, CIA officers conducted no written assessment of whether these detainees posed a continuing, serious threat of violence or death to U.S. persons and interests or were planning terrorist activities. The CIA maintained such poor records of its detainees in country redacted during this period that the CIA remains unable to determine the number and identity of the individuals it detained. The full details of the CIA interrogations there remain largely unknown, as detention site Cobalt was later found to have not reported multiple uses of sleep deprivation, required standing, loud music, sensory deprivation, extended isolation, reduced quantity and quality of food, nudity, and rough treatment of CIA detainees.
Note, 245. The full committee study includes a CIA photograph of a waterboard at detention site Cobalt. While there are no records of the CIA using the waterboard at Cobalt, the waterboard device in the photograph is surrounded by buckets with a bottle of unknown pink solution filled two-thirds of the way to the top, and a watering can resting on the wooden beams of the waterboard. In meetings between the committee staff and the CIA in the summer of 2013, the CIA was unable to explain the details of the photograph to include the buckets, solution, and watering can, as well as the waterboard's presence at Cobalt.
3. CIA headquarters recommends that untrained interrogators in country redacted use the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques on Rida al-Najjar. Rida al-Najjar was the first CIA detainee to be held at detention site Cobalt. Al-Najjar, along with Hassan Muhammad Abu Bakr and a number of other individuals, was arrested in Karachi, Pakistan, after raids conducted, redacted, by redacted, Pakistan, redacted, in late May 2002. Al-Najjar was identified by the CIA as a former bodyguard for Osama bin Laden and was rendered with Abu Bakr to CIA custody at a country redacted detention facility on June redacted 2002. Rida al-Najjar was transferred to detention site Cobalt on September redacted 2002. While the CIA was describing to the Department of Justice why it needed to use the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques against Abu Zubaydah, a parallel internal discussion at the CIA was taking place regarding Rida al-Najjar. An Alex station cable from a CTC officer stated that on June 27, 2002, Alec HQS held a strategy session regarding the interrogation of high-priority redacted detainee Rida Ahmed al-Najjar in country redacted. The goal of the session was to review the progress of the interrogation to date and to devise a general plan as to how best to proceed once the new country redacted detention debriefing facility, i.e. detention site Cobalt, is completed. The meeting participants included individuals who were also involved in discussions related to Abu Zubaydah's interrogation, including Deputy Chief of Alex Station, redacted, CTC Legal, redacted, and the Chief of the Redacted. A cable followed on July 16, 2002, to the CIA station in country redacted, suggesting possible interrogation techniques to use against Rida al-Najjar, including utilizing Najjar's fear for the well-being of his family to our benefit, with the cable explicitly stating that interrogators could not threaten his family with imminent death, using vague threats to create a mind virus that would cause al-Najjar to believe that his situation would continue to get worse until he cooperated, manipulating Rita al-Najjar's environment using a hood, restraints, and music, and employing sleep deprivation through the use of round-the-clock interrogations. The cable went on to note that the possibility that al-Najjar may have current threat or lead information demands that we keep up the pressure on him. With the exception of a brief mention of diminished returns from the most recent interviews of al-Najjar and references to the detainees' complaints about physical ailments, the cable offers no evidence al-Najjar was actively resisting CIA interrogators. 10 days later, on July 26, 2002, CIA officers in country redacted, none of whom had been trained in the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, proposed putting al-Najjar in isolation and using sound disorientation techniques, sense of time deprivation, limited light, cold temperatures, and sleep deprivation. The CIA officers added that they felt they had a reasonable chance of breaking Najjar to get the intelligence and locator lead information on UBL and bin Laden's family. The plan for al-Najjar was circulated to senior CIA officers as part of the daily DCI operations update. On August 5th, 2002, the day after Abu Zubaydah's interrogation using the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques at Detention Site Green began, CIA headquarters authorized the proposed interrogation plan for al-Najjar to include the use of loud music at less than the level that would cause physical harm, such as permanent hearing loss, worse food, as long as it was nutritionally adequate for sustenance, sleep deprivation, and hooding. More than a month later, on September 21, 2002, CIA interrogators described al-Najjar as clearly a broken man and on the verge of complete breakdown as a result of the isolation. The cable added that al-Najjar was willing to do whatever the CIA officer asked. In October 2002, officers from the U.S. military conducted a short debriefing of al-Najjar at detention site Cobalt and subsequently expressed an interest in a more thorough debriefing. On November, redacted 2002, a U.S. military legal advisor visited detention site Cobalt and described it as a CIA detention facility, noting that while CIA is the only user of the facility, they contend it is a country-redacted facility. The U.S. military officer also noted that the junior CIA officer designated as warden of the facility has little to no experience with interrogating or handling prisoners. With respect to al-Najjar specifically, the legal advisor indicated that the CIA's interrogation plan included isolation in total darkness, lowering the quality of his food, keeping him at an uncomfortable temperature, cold, playing music 24 hours a day, and keeping him shackled and hooded. In addition, al-Najjar was described as having been left hanging, which involved handcuffing one or both wrists to an overhead bar, which would not allow him to lower his arms for 22 hours each day for 2 consecutive days, in order to break his resistance. It was also noted al-Najjar was wearing a diaper and had no access to toilet facilities. The U.S. military legal advisor concluded that, because of al-Najjar's treatment and the concealment of the facility from the ICRC, military partnership in al-Najjar's interrogation would involve risks for the U.S. military, redacted. The legal advisor recommended briefing the CIA's detention and interrogation activities to U.S. redacted combat command to alert the command of the risk prior to the U.S. military, redacted, being involved in any aspect of the interrogation of al-Najjar. According to the CIA Inspector General, the detention and interrogation of Rita al-Najjar became the model for handling other CIA detainees at detention site Cobalt. The CIA disseminated one intelligence report from its detention and interrogation of Rita al-Najjar. 4. Death of Ghul Rahman leads CIA headquarters to learn of unreported coercive interrogation techniques at detention site Cobalt. CIA Inspector General review reveals lack of oversight of the detention site. In November 2002, Alex Station officers requested that CIA contract interrogator Hammond Dunbar, one of the two primary interrogators of Abu Zubaydah in August 2002, travel to detention site Cobalt to assess a detainee for the possible use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. While Dunbar was present at detention site Cobalt, he assisted, redacted, CIA Officer 1, in the interrogations of Ghul Rahman, a suspected Islamic terrorist. As reported to CIA headquarters, this interrogation included 48 hours of sleep deprivation, auditory overload, total darkness, isolation, a cold shower, and rough treatment. CIA headquarters did not approve these interrogation techniques in advance. Upon receipt of these cables, however, officers at CIA headquarters responded that they were motivated to extract any and all operational information on Al-Qaeda and Hezb Islami from Ghul Rahman, and suggested that enhanced measures might be needed to gain Ghul Rahman's compliance. CIA headquarters also requested that a psychological assessment of Rahman be completed. Prior to Dunbar's departure from the detention site on November redacted 2002, a few days before the death of Ghul Rahman, Dunbar proposed the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques on other detainees and offered suggestions to redacted CIA Officer 1, the site manager, on the use of such techniques. On November redacted 2002, redacted, CIA Officer 1 ordered that Ghul Rahman be shackled to the wall of his cell in a position that required the detainee to rest on the bare concrete floor. Rahman was wearing only a sweatshirt, as redacted CIA Officer 1 had ordered that Rahman's clothing be removed when he had been judged to be uncooperative during an earlier interrogation. The next day, the guards found Ghul Rahman's dead body. An internal CIA review and autopsy assessed that Rahman likely died from hypothermia, in part from having been forced to sit on a bare concrete floor without pants. Redacted CIA Officer 1's initial cable to CIA headquarters on Rahman's death included a number of misstatements and omissions that were not discovered until the internal investigation into Rahman's death. The death of Ghul Rahman resulted in increased attention to CIA detention interrogation activities in country redacted by CIA headquarters. The CTC formally designated the CTC's Renditions Group as the responsible entity for the management and maintenance of all CIA interrogation facilities, including detention site Cobalt, in early December 2002. Despite this change, many of the same individuals within the CIA, including Dunbar, officers at detention site Cobalt, and officers within Alex Station who had recommended the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques against Ghul Rahman, remained key figures in the CIA interrogation program and received no reprimand or sanction for Rahman's death. Instead, in March 2003, just 4 months after the death of Ghul Rahman, the CIA station in country redacted recommended that redacted CIA Officer 1 receive a cash award of $2,500 for his consistently superior work. Redacted CIA Officer 1 remained in his position as manager of the detention site until July 2003 and continued to be involved in the interrogations of other CIA detainees. He was formally certified as a CIA interrogator in April 2003 after the practical portion of his training requirement was waived because of his past experience with interrogations at detention site Cobalt.
Note 277. In late 2005, the CIA convened an accountability board to review the actions of CIA personnel in Ghul Rahman's death. The board recommended that the executive director impose a 10-day suspension without pay on redacted CIA Officer 1 and noted that this action would strike the appropriate balance between 1, the fact that redacted CIA Officer 1 was the only individual who made decisions that led directly, albeit unintentionally, to Rahman's death, and 2, the significant weight the board attached to the mitigating factors at play in this incident. On February 10, 2006, however, the CIA executive director, K.B. Fago, notified redacted CIA Officer 1 that he intended to take no disciplinary action against him. In his memo describing that decision, the executive director stated, "While not condoning your actions, it is imperative, in my view, that they be judged within the operational context that existed at the time of Rahman's detention. Cable traffic reviewed by the board shows conclusively that headquarters generally was aware of and posed no objections to the confinement conditions and interrogation techniques being imposed on Rahman as late as redacted November. On that date, headquarters notified the CIA station in Country Redacted that it was motivated to extract any and all operational information from Rahman, that it rated achieving Rahman's cooperation to be of great importance, and that it acknowledged that Rahman may need to be subjected to enhanced interrogation measures to induce him to comply. With regard to the death of Gul Rahman, the CIA's June 2013 response states, "Most egregiously, we believe that CIA leaders erred in not holding anyone formally accountable for the actions and failure of management related to the death of Gul Rahman at Cobalt in 2002. We understand the reasoning underlying CIA management's decision to overturn an accountability board recommendation that would have imposed sanctions on the least experienced officer involved. The most junior in the chain of command should not have to bear the full weight of accountability when larger systemic problems exist and when they are thrust into difficult battlefield situations by their supervisors and given a risky and difficult task and little preparation or guidance. Still, it is hard to accept that a CIA officer does not bear at least some responsibility for his or her actions, even under trying circumstances."
Later, investigations of detention site Cobalt conducted by the CIA Inspector General and the Deputy Director of Operations following the death of Gul Rahman found that the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques and other coercive interrogation techniques was more widespread than was reported in contemporaneous CIA cables. Specifically, the interrogation techniques that went unreported in CIA cables included standing sleep deprivation, in which a detainee's arms were shackled above his head, nudity, dietary manipulation, exposure to cold temperatures, cold showers, rough takedowns, and, in at least two instances, the use of mock executions. On November 18, 2002, the CIA's Office of Inspector General contacted Redacted, CTC Legal, Redacted, to indicate their interest in being briefed by CTC on the detention facility in Country Redacted. At their meeting with the DDO and the chief of CTC on November, Redacted 2002, the OIG staff explained that, while in the country on a separate matter, the staff had overheard a conversation that included references to war crimes and torture at a CIA detention facility, and were therefore seeking to follow up on this information. According to notes from the meeting, the DDO described the most recent event concerning Gul Rahman, his death, which occurred on November, Redacted 2002. In January 2003, CIA Inspector General John Helgerson began a formal review of the death of Gul Rahman and began a separate review of the entire CIA detention and interrogation program. The resulting Special Review of Counterterrorism Detention and Interrogation Activities, Special Review, found that there were no guidelines for the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques at detention site Cobalt prior to December 2002, and that interrogators, some with little or no training, were left to their own devices in working with detainees. The Inspector General's special review also revealed the lack of oversight of detention site Cobalt by CIA leadership. DCI Tennant stated that he was not very familiar with detention site Cobalt and what the CIA is doing with medium-value targets. Associate Deputy Director of Operations, Redacted, stated that he was unaware that the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques were being used there. In August 2003, CIA General Counsel Scott Mueller relayed that he was under the impression that detention site Cobalt was only a holding facility and that he had no idea who was responsible for Cobalt. Senior Deputy General Counsel John Rizzo informed the OIG that he knew little about detention site Cobalt and that his focus was on detention site Green and detention site Blue. CTC Chief of Operations Redacted stated that he had much less knowledge of operations at detention site Cobalt, and that the CIA's Green and Blue detention sites were much more important to him. Finally, Chief of CTC, Jose Rodriguez, stated that he did not focus on detention site Cobalt because he had other higher priorities. 5. The CIA begins training new interrogators, interrogation techniques not reviewed by the Department of Justice included in the training syllabus. the CIA's CTC Renditions Group began preparing the first CIA interrogator training course in August 2002, during the period in which Abu Zubaydah was being interrogated using the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques at Detention Site Green. Redacted, the CIA's chief of interrogations, and Redacted, the CIA officer with OTS who had spent Redacted years as a SEER instructor with JPRA, led the interrogation training. The first interrogation training, conducted with the assistance of JPRA personnel, occurred from November 12, 2002 to November 18, 2002. The class included 8 students who were seeking to become CIA interrogators and 3 students seeking to support the CIA interrogation process. The CIA training program involved 65 hours of instruction and training on the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, including at least 2 interrogation techniques whose legality had not been evaluated by the Department of Justice, the abdominal slap and the finger press. Although a number of personnel at CIA headquarters reviewed the training materials, there are no CIA records of any CIA officer raising objections to the techniques being included in the syllabus. 6. Despite recommendation from CIA attorneys, the CIA fails to adequately screen potential interrogators in 2002 and 2003. On November Redacted 2002, after the completion of the first formal training class, Redacted, CTC Legal, Redacted, asked CTC Attorney Redacted to make it known that from now on, CTC LGL must vet all personnel who are enrolled in, observing or teaching, or otherwise associated with the class. Redacted added, moreover, we will be forced to disapprove the participation of specific personnel in the use of enhanced interrogation unless we have ourselves vetted them and are satisfied with their qualifications and suitability for what are clearly unusual measures that are lawful only when practiced correctly by personnel whose records clearly demonstrate their suitability for that role. The vetting process will not be that dissimilar from the checks that are provided by the OIG, OS, etc., in certain cases before individuals are promoted or received awards, and the selection and training of aggressive interrogators certainly warrants a similar vetting process. The chief of CTC, Jose Rodriguez, objected to this approach, stating, I do not think that CTC LGL should or would want to get into the business of vetting participants, observers, instructors, or others that are involved in this program. It is simply not your job. Your job is to tell all what are the accepted legal standards for conducting interrogations per the authorities obtained from justice and agreed upon by the White House. Contrary to statements later made by CIA Director Michael Hayden and other CIA officials that all those involved in the questions of detainees are carefully chosen and screened for demonstrated professional judgment and maturity, CIA records suggest that the vetting sought by Redacted did not take place. The committee reviewed CIA records related to several CIA officers and contractors involved in the CIA's detention and interrogation program, most of whom conducted interrogations. The committee identified a number of personnel whose backgrounds include notable derogatory information, calling into question their eligibility for employment, their access to classified information, and their participation in CIA interrogation activities. In nearly all cases, the derogatory information was known to the CIA prior to the assessment of the CIA officers to the detention interrogation program. This group of officers included individuals who, among other issues, had engaged in inappropriate detainee interrogations, had workplace anger management issues, and had reportedly admitted to sexual assault. 7. Bureau of Prisons wowed by level of deprivation at CIA's Cobalt detention site. In December 2002, the CIA's Renditions Group sent a team of recently trained interrogators to detention site Cobalt to engage in interrogations. The interrogation plans proposed by that team for at least 3 detainees at detention site Cobalt included the use of interrupted sleep, loud music, and reduction in food quality and quantity. Less than a month after the death of Ghul Rahman from suspected hypothermia, the plans also called for detainees' clothes to be removed in a facility that was described to be 45 degrees Fahrenheit. CIA headquarters approved the proposals for these detainees, whom the CIA described as medium value. Prior to this, in November 2002, a delegation of several officers from the Federal Bureau of Prisons conducted an assessment of the detention site Cobalt. following the November redacted 2002 through November redacted 2002 visit, CIA officers in country redacted remarked that the Federal Bureau of Prisons assessments, along with recommendations and training, had made noticeable improvement on how the day-to-day operations at the facility are performed and made the detention site a more secure and safer working environment for redacted officers. On December 4th, 2002, officers at CIA headquarters met with individuals from the Federal Bureau of Prisons to learn more about their inspection of detention site Cobalt and their training of redacted security staff. During that meeting, the Federal Bureau of Prisons personnel described detention site Cobalt and stated that there was absolutely no talking inside the facility, that the guards do not interact with the prisoners, and that everything is done in silence and in the dark. According to a CIA officer, the Federal Bureau of Prisons staff also commented that they were wowed at first by the facility because they have never been in a facility where individuals are so sensory deprived, i.e., constant white noise, no talking, everyone in the dark, with the guards wearing a light on their head when they collected and escorted a detainee to an interrogation cell. Detainees constantly being shackled to the wall or floor, and the starkness of each cell, concrete and bars. There is nothing like this in the Federal Bureau of Prisons. They then explained that they understood the mission, and it was their collective assessment that in spite of all this sensory deprivation, the detainees were not being treated humanely. They explained that the facility was sanitary, there was medical care, and the guard force and our staff did not mistreat the detainees. By the end of December 2002, the CIA renditions group that had visited detention site Cobalt had concluded that the detention facility's initial baseline conditions involved so much deprivation that any further deprivation would have limited impact on the interrogations. The team thus recommended that experts and authorities other than the individuals who crafted the process review the interrogation process and conditions, and that a legal review be conducted. CIA headquarters does not appear to have taken actions on these recommendations. 8. The CIA places CIA detainees in country redacted facilities because they did not meet the MON standard for detention. In the spring of 2003, the CIA continued to hold detainees at facilities in country redacted who were known not to meet the MON standard for detention. CIA officer redacted, CIA officer 1, described the arrangement he had with country blank officers in an email, writing, "Redacted. They also happen to have 3 or 4 rooms where they can lock up people discreetly. I give them a few $100 a month, and they use the rooms for whoever I bring over. No questions asked. It is very useful for housing guys that shouldn't be in detention site Cobalt for one reason or another, but still need to be kept isolated and held in secret detention." CIA cables indicate that CIA officers transferred at least 4 detainees to these country redacted facilities because they did not meet the standard for CIA detention under the MON. In total, 4 CIA detention facilities were established in country redacted. CIA records indicate that detention site Cobalt held a total of 64 detainees during the period of its operation between September 2002 and redacted 2004, while detention site Gray held 8 detainees between redacted 2003 and redacted 2003. The CIA later established 2 other CIA facilities in country redacted, detention site Orange, which held 34 detainees between redacted 2004 and redacted 2006, and detention site Brown, which held 12 detainees between redacted 2006 and 2008. 9. DCI Tenet establishes first guidelines on detention conditions and interrogation. Formal consolidation of program administration at CIA headquarters does not resolve disagreements among CIA personnel. In January 2003, in response to the death of CIA detainee Gul Rockman and the use of a gun and a drill in the CIA interrogations of Abid al-Rahim al-Nashiri, described later in this summary, DCI Tenet signed the first formal interrogation and confinement guidelines for the program. In contrast to proposals from late 2001, when CIA personnel expected that any detention facility would have to meet U.S. prison standards, the confinement guidelines signed in January 2003 set forth minimal standards for a detention facility. The confinement guidelines required only that the facility be sufficient to meet basic health needs, meaning that even a facility like Detention Site Cobalt, in which detainees were kept shackled in complete darkness and isolation, with a bucket for human waste, and without notable heat during the winter months, met the standards. The guidelines also required quarterly assessments of the conditions at the detention facilities. The first quarterly review of detention facilities covered the period from January 2003 to April 2003 and examined conditions at Detention Site Cobalt, as well as Detention Site Blue, and a different country, Country Redacted. At that time, Detention Site Blue, which was initially designed for two detainees, was housing five detainees. Nonetheless, the site review team found that the conditions at Detention Site Blue, including the three purpose-built holding units, met the minimum standards set by the CIA in the January 2003 guidance. Detainees received bi-weekly medical evaluations, brushed their teeth once a day, washed their hands prior to each meal, and could bathe once a week. Amenities such as solid food, clothing, sweatshirts, sweatpants, and slippers, reading materials, prayer rugs, and Qurans were available depending on the detainees' degree of cooperation with the interrogators. The first quarter 2003 review also found that conditions at Detention Site Cobalt satisfied the January 2003 guidance, citing significant improvements, such as space heaters and weekly medical evaluations. The review noted that a new facility was under construction in Country Redacted to replace Detention Site Cobalt, and that this new detention facility, Detention Site Orange, will be a quantum leap forward because it will incorporate heating, air conditioning, conventional plumbing, appropriate lighting, shower and laundry facilities. Detention Site Orange opened in Redacted 2004. Although some of the cells at Detention Site Orange included plumbing, detainees undergoing interrogation were kept in smaller cells with waste buckets rather than toilet facilities. The DCI's January 2003 interrogation guidelines listed 12 enhanced techniques that could be used with prior approval of the director of CTC, including 2, use of diapers for prolonged periods, and the abdominal slap, that had not been evaluated by the OLC. The enhanced techniques were only to be employed by approved interrogators for use with a specific detainee. The guidelines also identified standard techniques, including sleep deprivation up to 72 hours, reduced caloric intake, use of loud music, isolation, and the use of diapers generally not to exceed 72 hours. That required advance approval, whenever feasible, and directed that their use be documented. The standard techniques were described as techniques that do not incorporate physical or substantial psychological pressure. The guidelines provided no description or further limitations on the use of either the enhanced or standard interrogation techniques. Although the DCI interrogation guidelines were prepared as a reaction to the death of Gul Rahman and the use of unauthorized interrogation techniques on Abed al-Rahim al-Nashiri, they did not reference all interrogation practices that had been employed at CIA detention sites. The guidelines, for example, did not address whether interrogation techniques such as the rough takedown, the use of cold water showers, and prolonged light deprivation were prohibited. In addition, by requiring advanced approval of standard techniques whenever feasible, the guidelines allowed CIA officers a significant amount of discretion to determine who could be subjected to the CIA's standard interrogation techniques, when those techniques could be applied, and when it was not feasible to request advanced approval from CIA headquarters. Thus, consistent with the interrogation guidelines throughout much of 2003, CIA officers, including personnel not trained in interrogation, could at their discretion strip a detainee naked, shackle him in the standing position for up to 72 hours, and douse the detainee repeatedly with cold water, without approval from CIA headquarters, if those officers judged CIA headquarters approval was not feasible. In practice, CIA personnel routinely applied these types of interrogation techniques without obtaining prior approval. The DCI interrogation guidelines also included the first requirements related to record keeping, instructing that for each interrogation session in which an enhanced technique is employed, the field prepare a substantially contemporaneous record setting forth the nature and duration of each such technique employed the identities of those present, and a citation to the required headquarters approval cable. In practice, these guidelines were not followed. There were also administrative changes to the program. As noted on December 3, 2002, CTC's Renditions Group formally assumed responsibility for the management and maintenance of all CIA detention and interrogation facilities. Prior to that time, the interrogation program was joined at the hip with CTC's Alex Station, according to redacted CTC legal. Although another CTC attorney who was directly involved in the program informed the CIA OIG that she was never sure what group in CTC was responsible for interrogation activities. Even after the formal designation of the CIA's Renditions Group, tensions continued, particularly between CTC personnel who supported Swigert and Dunbar's continued role, and the Renditions Group, which designated Redacted as the CIA's chief interrogator. As late as June 2003, Swigert and Dunbar, operating outside of the direct management of the Renditions Group, were deployed to Detention Site Blue to both interrogate and conduct psychological reviews of the detainees. The dispute extended into interrogation practices. The Renditions Group's leadership considered the Water Board, which Chief of Interrogations Redacted was not certified to use, as life-threatening, and complained to the OIG that some CIA officers in the Directorate of Operations believe that, as a result, the Renditions Group was running a sissified interrogation program. At the time, CIA CTC personnel criticized the Renditions Group and Redacted for their use of painful stress positions, as well as for the conditions at Detention Site Cobalt.
Note 324. The Chief of Interrogations, Redacted, told the Inspector General that the Water Board was overused with Abu Zubaydah and KSM and was ineffective in the interrogations of KSM. One doctor involved in CIA interrogations using the waterboard interrogation technique stated that Redacted has a huge bias against the waterboard because he's not approved to use it. The reverse is the contract Psy guys, Swigert and Dunbar, who have a vested interest in favor of it.
There were also concerns about possible conflicts of interest related to the contractors, Swigert and Dunbar. On January 30, 2003, a cable from CIA headquarters stated that the individual at the interrogation site who administers the techniques is not the same person who issues the psychological assessment of record, and that only a staff psychologist, not a contractor, could issue an assessment of record. In June 2003, however, Swigert and Dunbar were deployed to Detention Site Blue to interrogate KSM, as well as to assess KSM's psychological stability and resistance posture. As described later in this summary, contractors had earlier subjected KSM to the Water Board and other CIA-enhanced interrogation techniques. The decision to send the contract psychologist to Detention Site Blue prompted an OMS psychologist to write to OMS leadership that any data collected by them from detainees with whom they previously interacted as interrogators will always be suspect.
Note 328. The email, which expressed concern that Swigert and Dunbar would interfere with on-site psychologists, stated that, although these guys believe their way is the only way, there should be an effort to define roles and responsibilities before their arrogance and narcissism evolve into unproductive conflict in the field.
Redacted, OMS, then informed the management of the Renditions Group that no professional in the field would credit Swigert and Dunbar's later judgments as psychologists assessing the subjects of their enhanced measures. At the end of their deployment in June 2003, Swigert and Dunbar provided their assessment of KSM and recommended that he should be evaluated on a monthly basis by an experienced interrogator known to him who would assess how forthcoming he is and remind him there are differing consequences for cooperating or not cooperating. In his response to the draft, Inspector General Special Review, Redacted, OMS, noted that OMS concerns about conflict of interest were nowhere more graphic than in the setting in which the same individuals applied an EIT, which only they were allowed to employ, judged both its effectiveness and detainee resilience, and implicitly proposed continued use of the technique at a daily compensation reported to be $1,800 a day, or four times that of interrogators who could not use the technique.
D. The detention and interrogation of Abd al-Rahim al-Nashiri. 1. CIA interrogators disagree with CIA headquarters about al-Nashiri's level of cooperation. Interrogators oppose continued use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. Abd al-Rahim al-Nashiri, assessed by the CIA to be an al-Qaeda terrorist operations planner, who was intimately involved in planning both the USS Cole bombing and the 1998 East Africa U.S. Embassy bombings, was captured in the United Arab Emirates in mid-October 2002. He provided information while in the custody of a foreign government, including on plotting in the Persian Gulf, and was then rendered by the CIA to detention site Cobalt in country redacted on November redacted 2002, where he was held for redacted days before being transferred to detention site Green on November redacted 2002. At detention site Green, al-Nashiri was interrogated using the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, including being subjected to the waterboard at least three times. In December 2002, when detention site Green was closed, al-Nashiri and Abu Zubaida were rendered to detention site Blue. In total, al-Nashiri was subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques during at least four separate periods, with each period typically ending with an assessment from on-site interrogators that al-Nashiri was compliant and cooperative. Officers at CIA headquarters disagreed with these assessments, with the deputy chief of Alec Station, Redacted, commenting that detention site Blue interrogators should not make sweeping statements in cable traffic regarding al-Nashiri's compliance. Officers at CIA headquarters sought to reinstate the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques based on their belief that al-Nashiri had not yet provided actionable intelligence on imminent attacks. Shortly after al-Nashiri arrived at detention site Blue, CIA interrogators at the detention site judged al-Nashiri's cooperation and compliance by his engagement and willingness to answer questions, while CIA headquarters personnel judged his compliance based on the specific actionable intelligence he had provided, or lack thereof. For example, in December 2002, interrogators informed CIA headquarters that al-Nashiri was cooperative and truthful, and that the consensus at the detention site was that al-Nashiri was a compliant detainee who was not withholding important threat information. Officers from the CIA Alec Station at CIA headquarters responded, "It is inconceivable to us that al-Nashiri cannot provide us concrete leads. When we are able to capture other terrorists based on his leads and to thwart future plots based on his reporting, we will have much more confidence that he is, indeed, genuinely cooperative on some level." Later, after multiple follow-up debriefings, detention site Blue officers again wrote that they had reluctantly concluded that al-Nashiri was providing logical and rational explanations to questions provided by CIA headquarters, and therefore they recommended against resuming enhanced measures unless Alec Station had evidence al-Nashiri was lying. A cable from the detention site stated, "Without tangible proof of lying or intentional withholding, however, we believe employing enhanced measures will accomplish nothing except show al-Nashiri that he will be punished whether he cooperates or not, thus eroding any remaining desire to continue cooperating. The bottom line is that we think al-Nashiri is being cooperative, and if subjected to indiscriminate and prolonged enhanced measures, there is a good chance he will either fold up and cease cooperation or suffer the sort of permanent mental harm prohibited by the statute. Therefore, a decision to resume enhanced measures must be grounded in fact and not general feelings." 2. CIA headquarters sends untrained interrogator to resume al-Nashiri's interrogations. Interrogator threatens al-Nashiri with a gun and a drill. After the detention site Blue chief of base sent two interrogators back to the United States because of prolonged absences from family and the fact that enhanced measures are no longer required for al-Nashiri, CIA headquarters sent redacted CIA officer 2, a CIA redacted officer who has not been trained or qualified as an interrogator, to detention site Blue to question and assess al-Nashiri.
Note 345. Prior to redacted CIA Officer 2's deployment, CIA records included numerous concerns about redacted CIA Officer 2's anger management, redacted, and redacted. The CIA's June 2013 response states that redacted, some of the redacted officers mentioned in the study, redacted, should have been excluded. Much derogatory information was not in fact available to senior managers making assignments redacted. Notwithstanding the CIA's June 2013 assertion, as detailed in Volume 3, senior managers were aware of concerns related to redacted CIA Officer 2 prior to his deployment.
On late December 2002, following a meeting at CIA headquarters to discuss resuming the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques against al-Nashiri, Redacted, the chief of RDG, the entity that managed the CIA's detention and interrogation program, objected to send Redacted CIA Officer 2 to the detention site because he had not been through the interrogation training and because Redacted had heard from some colleagues that Redacted CIA Officer 2 was too confident, had a temper, and had some security issues. Redacted later learned from the CIA officials that CTC Chief of Operations Redacted wanted Redacted CIA Officer 2 at Detention Site Blue over the holidays. Redacted told the Officer of Inspector General that his assessment is that the agency management felt that the RDG interrogators were being too lenient with al-Nashiri, and that Redacted CIA Officer 2 was sent to Detention Site Blue to fix the situation. Redacted CIA Officer 2 arrived at Detention Site Blue on December Redacted 2002, and the CIA resumed the use of its enhanced interrogation techniques on al-Nashiri shortly thereafter, despite the fact that Redacted CIA Officer 2 had not been trained, certified, or approved to use the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. Redacted CIA Officer 2 wrote in a cable to CIA headquarters that al-Nashiri responds well to harsh treatment and suggested that the interrogators continue to administer various degrees of mild punishment, but still allow for a small degree of hope by introducing some minute rewards. It was later learned that during these interrogation sessions, Redacted CIA Officer 2, with the permission and participation of the Detention Site Blue Chief of Base, who also had not been trained and qualified as an interrogator, used a series of unauthorized interrogation techniques against al-Nashiri. For example, Redacted CIA Officer 2 placed al-Nashiri in a standing stress position with his hands affixed over his head for approximately 2.5 days. Later during the course of al-Nashiri's debriefings while he was blindfolded, Redacted CIA Officer 2 placed a pistol near al-Nashiri's head and operated a cordless drill near al-Nashiri's body. Al-Nashiri did not provide any additional threat information during or after these interrogations. Based on a report from CTC, the CIA Office of Inspector General conducted a review of these interrogation incidents and issued a report of investigation in the fall of 2003. The Office of Inspector General later described additional allegations of unauthorized techniques used against al-Nashiri by Redacted CIA Officer 2 and other interrogators, including slapping al-Nashiri multiple times on the back of the head during interrogations, implying that his mother would be brought before him and sexually abused, blowing cigar smoke in al-Nashiri's face, giving al-Nashiri a forced bath using a stiff brush, and using improvised stress positions that caused cuts and bruises resulting in the intervention of a medical officer who was concerned that al-Nashiri's shoulders would be dislocated using the stress positions. When interviewed by the Office of Inspector General, the Detention Site Blue Chief of Base stated that he did not object to using the gun and drill in the interrogations because he believed Redacted CIA Officer 2 was sent from CIA headquarters to resolve the matter of al-Nashiri's cooperation, and that he believed Redacted Officer 2 had permission to use the interrogation techniques. The Chief of Base added that his own on-site approval was based on this and the pressure he felt from headquarters to obtain imminent threat information from al-Nashiri on 9/11-style attacks. In April 2004, Redacted CIA Officer 2 and the Chief of Base were disciplined. 3. CIA contractor recommends continued use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques against al-Nashiri. Chief interrogator threatens to quit because additional techniques might push al-Nashiri over the edge psychologically. Refers to the CIA program as a train wreck waiting to happen. On January Redacted 2003, CIA contractor Dunbar arrived at Detention Site Blue to conduct a psychological interrogation assessment to judge al-Nashiri's suitability for the additional use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques and develop recommendations for his interrogation. The resulting interrogation plan proposed that the interrogators would have the latitude to use the full range of enhanced exploitation and interrogation measures, adding that the use of the waterboard would require additional support from fellow CIA contractor Grayson Swigert. According to the interrogation plan, once the interrogators had eliminated al-Nashiri's sense of control and predictability and established a desired level of helplessness, They would reduce the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques and transition to a debriefing phase once again. After receiving the proposed interrogation plan for al-Nashiri on January 21, 2003, redacted, the CIA's chief of interrogation, whose presence had previously prompted al-Nashiri to tremble in fear, emailed CIA colleagues to notify them that he had informed the front office of CTC that he would no longer be associated in any way with the interrogation program due to serious reservations he had about the current state of affairs, and would instead be retiring shortly. In the same email, Redacted wrote, "This is a train wreck waiting to happen, and I intend to get the hell off the train before it happens." Redacted drafted a cable for CIA headquarters to send to Detention Site Blue, raising a number of concerns that he, the chief of interrogations, believed should be entered for the record. The CIA headquarters cable, which does not appear to have been disseminated to Detention Site Blue, included the following. "We have serious reservations with the continued use of enhanced techniques with al-Nashiri and its long-term impact on him. Al-Nashiri has been held for 3 months in very difficult conditions, both physically and mentally. It is the assessment of the prior interrogators that al-Nashiri has been mainly truthful and is not withholding significant information. To continue to use enhanced techniques without clear indications that he is withholding important information is excessive and may cause him to cease cooperation on any level. Al-Nashiri may come to the conclusion that whether he cooperates or not, he will continually be subjected to enhanced techniques. Therefore, what is the incentive for continued cooperation? Also, both CTC, RG, Chief of CTC, RDG, Redacted, and HVT Interrogator, Redacted, who departed Detention Site Blue in Redacted January, believe continued enhanced methods may push al-Nashiri over the edge psychologically." The draft cable from Redacted also raised conflict of responsibility concerns, stating, "Another area of concern is the use of the psychologist as an interrogator. The role of the ops psychologist is to be a detached observer and serve as a check on the interrogator to prevent the interrogator from any unintentional excess of pressure, which might cause permanent psychological harm to the subject. The medical officer is on hand to provide the same protection from physical actions that might harm the subject. Therefore, the medical officer and the psychologist should not serve as an interrogator, which is a conflict of responsibility. We note that the proposed plan contains a psychological interrogation assessment by redacted psychologist Dunbar, which is to be carried out by interrogator Dunbar. We have a problem with him conducting both roles simultaneously." Rather than releasing the cable that was drafted by redacted CIA headquarters, approved a plan to reinstitute the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques against al-Nashiri, beginning with shaving him, removing his clothes, and placing him in a standing sleep deprivation position with his arms affixed over his head. CIA cables describing subsequent interrogations indicate that al-Nashiri was nude and at times put in the standing position, handcuffed and shackled. According to cables, CIA interrogators decided to provide al-Nashiri's clothes to hopefully stabilize his psychological symptoms and prevent them from deteriorating, noting on a cable the next day that al-Nashiri was suffering from a head cold which caused his body to shake for approximately 10 minutes during an interrogation. Beginning in June 2003, the CIA transferred